God is so good. How are you this morning? Good, good, good. I remember when Pastor was preaching the other day and he was talking just one word. He said something about being blocked. And I remember sitting there and God just gave me 5 messages out of that one word, block. This is how God's work moves, you know, in our midst. Like if you are open to allow God to change your life, God can just use one word or no word, and then God can just change your perspective. So I'm so glad that I'm going to go on my first the first message that came out of that inspiration. Huh? And hopefully, as we go along, and I'm sure we will have time in the years to come, that I'll be able to share the other 4 as well. God is so good. And out of that inspiration, as I say, I have entitled my message today as Making Somebody's Life Better. I believe you are anointed, highly favored, the song says, to make somebody's life better. And you need to believe it. And you need to receive it with gratefulness that we can be a blessing to people, that we can make someone's life better. So let's ask the Lord to bless His time. Father, we thank You so much that You use us. We are only such a finite person, and You use us to spread Your love. And we pray that today, even as we listen to Your word, that Lord, that word will build such a sense of Yourself in us, so that Lord, when we go around being a blessing and making somebody's lives better, that we know that this is not from us, but is really indeed Your divine presence and Your divine influence in us. So we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, making someone's life better. Can you imagine if this has got a ripple effect, that you really make this your mission in life? That not only do you make someone's life better, you make wherever you go, those lives that are with you so much better. And this is like our church vision, isn't it? Like we want to be an influence both in Perth as well as beyond. So in other words, whether we are in Perth or beyond, we just this morning saw someone came in with a luggage and we're all excited like, oh, she's traveling. Nowadays, seeing people with a luggage is such a rarity. Huh? And it's to be that influence, whether we are in Perth or overseas or anywhere, that wherever we are, we make that place a better place. So you can start from your home, you can start from your workplace, from the church, from your community, wherever you are, you can make somebody's life better. Question is somebody's life made better because of you? Jesus always makes somebody's life better. And that's why in John 10:10, we were told that He came so that we can have life. So that the people around Him can have life, that they may enjoy life and have it to the abundance. So that means wherever you are, if you have got a divine influence in you to give away, people will have life to the full till it overflows, because Christ is in you to channel that energy and to channel that life out of you. And the best part is Jesus securely attach Himself to us, just like vine to the branches. He told us in John that we are made secure in Him. In other words, if we are attached to Jesus, that we are made secure in Him. Everything that Jesus has, His nature, His inheritance, everything is imparted to us because we are securely attached to Him. And when we are securely attached to Him, we can then draw life from Him. And only then we are able, in a very sustainable way, in a very long-lasting way, in a very lifelong way, make somebody's life better. If not, then we have no energy, you know. You know, networking is a very tedious thing. You know, I don't like networking. I like fellowship. I don't like networking. It's very tedious. But if we know how to tap in to the security in Christ, to the strength in Christ, then we are able to make somebody's life better in a more sustainable, lifelong way. Being secure and having secure relationships is great for our emotional and mental health. These days, mental health is a huge thing. And in this particular time together, I like to say that if we are secure, we are able to then make secure relationships. And being secure and having secure relationships are great for our mental health. Because a secure person will enjoy trust and comfort and happiness. So when a person is secure, they feel comfortable, happy in their own skin. They feel secure. They feel good. They feel comfortable. They can trust people. People trust them. And so can you imagine a secure person, when they make relationships that are secure, then they spread that trust, they spread that comfort, and they spread their happiness to other people. Can you imagine the ripple effect if all of us know that we are able to make somebody's life better by being secure ourselves, by making the relationship secure? Then, wow, not only do we become a loving influence in Perth, we become a loving influence in wherever that God has sent us to. Jonathan in the Old Testament was a secure person. And he had secure relationships primarily with David, his best friend. He made David's life better. And in making David's life better, tell you what, he made his own life better. When people are comfortable and happy, you are comfortable and happy as well. And so Jonathan in the Old Testament, who is going to be our focus this morning, is a secure person, and he made secure relationships. Saul is different. Saul is his father. Thank God that we are not our father. Hey, we are not our mother. Sometimes, you know, in certain situations where moms and dads are not the most ideal, and children think they are like their mom and dad all the time, they live under a certain shadow, huh? Saul, in this case, is very unlike Jonathan. Jonathan is secure. Saul, his father, was a very insecure person. And he did not make long-lasting relationships like Jonathan did. In fact, he was enemy with David, his most trusted, his most competent general in the army. And he wasn't even a good relationship with his son because of his insecurity. In fact, at one point, he wanted to kill his own son. So Saul is that insecure person and didn't have that secure relationships, just as Jonathan did. And so while planning this whole session on making someone's life better, I thought it would be so good if today we focus on how we can learn to be secure and how we can make somebody's life better by being able to create or make a secure relationship. How's that? Are you excited? Yep. Okay, right. Number one is to have a self-check. We need to do self-check. We need to examine our lives, because if we don't examine our lives are not worth living, really, because then we might go the wrong direction and then we still keep going. We ask ourselves in the self-check, are we secure? And then we ask ourselves, can we relate securely? So I found out from good research that secure people have got these traits. So I'm going to read to you, and then we see how we go, right? Secure people, they are comfortable with closeness. You are close with them, secure people feels okay. They're comfortable. Secure people don't feel abandonment. They don't feel like if they do something wrong or they say something that they'll be abandoned. They don't get anxious if they make a mistake, because they are secure. Secure people don't get anxious if people don't call them or affirm them. They feel okay. If they wear something nice and nobody says anything, they feel secure, like, okay, it's all right, it's okay. Maybe nobody saw that nice whatever and didn't say anything. That's okay, that's okay. Wear it again. Secure people know that others are willing and able to care for their hearts. Secure people view themselves as lovable. And because of that, they can appropriately express their emotion without feeling like they'll be rejected if they do. Because they are lovable. They are nice. That's a profile of a secure person by the research I've done. Jonathan fits this profile. So good, huh? If you read all these things and then you say, oh, that's me, how good would that be? But Jonathan fits this profile. And he is not like the little emperor that Pastor Stewart preached some weeks ago. Some people are like little emperors and little empresses, where they are spoiled and they feel entitled. Not Jonathan. Jonathan fits this profile of a secure person. In fact, his name, Jonathan, is a very interesting name. It means Jehovah has given. And Jonathan was given a lot of things. He had a lot of benefits. He was highly favored, anointed. Robin? He was highly favored and anointed. God had given him many privileges. He was the crown prince, which means he's going to be the new king. And he was highly valued by his family, by his men in the army. He was highly valued. He had a lot of nice robes. That's why he could part with one to David. He had really nice robes and he had good training. He had education and he was able to use a lot of weapons of war. He was truly wow, that wow man. Great personality as well. Very nice and very humble, very good natured. What we say, he has got EQ as well as IQ. Used to be one time we like only the IQ sort of a talk. Now we like IQ plus EQ. We're quite greedy nowadays and we want everything. Maybe we have SQ as well, social intelligence. Another SQ, spiritual intelligence. But he was a secure person because he was given much. But despite all these great startups in life, he wasn't like the little emperor that Pastor Stewart talked about. He didn't feel entitled. In fact, he was, like what Pastor Stewart talked about again, grateful. He was grateful to his God for giving him so much. And that's why in 1 Samuel 14:6, he told his armor bearer, don't be afraid, go into the enemy territory because the Lord is going to work for us. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He sent his men into the territory knowing that God is for him, never against him. That God is somebody he can be secure in, that he can rely on. Wow, what a man. Such an inspiration from Jonathan. And Jonathan, because he was so secure, he was able to attach very closely and deeply with David. In fact, the Bible says that when they saw each other and when he heard what David had said about the war that he has gone through, Jonathan and David's souls were knit together. So beautiful. Go and find that somebody that we can knit our souls with. And probably you have found it, you know, in your marriage, you have found it in your family, the soul that can knit with you. Wow. And he makes good friends out of David because he was a secure man. I believe whatever background that we come from, secure, insecure, whatever, half secure, whatever backgrounds we come from, when we believe in the Lord, we are wired by our born-again experience to be secure. That means God doesn't say, okay, you come from insecure background, okay, give you half the gifts. Okay, you come from very secure background. Okay, give you more. No, God is not, he's not partial. When we are in him, he just gives us many splendid gifts, and he just entrusts us with those gifts. And he says, I'm going to design you to, with all these gifts, make you feel secure and then let you have secure relationships. Wow. That's why I'm in the faith for so long. And that's why you have been in the faith for so long. Because our God is so good. Robin, you sang the song. God is so good. But we need to be aware of blocks, you know. Life sometimes is not so rosy. We need to be aware of blocks, that sometimes certain of these blocks of insecurity can come from very early in our lives. I want to say this, that being a Christian does not automatically remove those blocks. It's like, oh, Lord Jesus, I receive you. And then, all the blocks are gone. God is not a magician. He's a miracle-working God, but he's not a magician, right? So it does not automatically remove those blocks. It's like, if you have been insecure when you come to the Lord Jesus, it does not mean that straight away, wow, you become very secure, like you are that, whoa, person that walks on cloud nine, that nothing can affect you, and you are so secure. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It just means that we can go through recovery, we can go through healing, and allow the Lord to reveal the layers in us. Because there are many layers. We have many layers, you know. My job is, as a counselor, is to really bring out some of those layers for people, you know, from what they are telling me. I can't tell what the layers are by looking at you. Some people come to me and says, I think you know me. I say, what? I don't know you. He says, I think you can tell. I say, what? I can't tell. But if you tell me, I can tell you. Right? So the Lord wants to reveal those layers and the blocks in us. And the Lord wants us to disrupt those insecure patterns. Disrupt them. Don't bring them with you. They are baggage, that need not be brought along. Don't bring them along. Disrupt them because they are not healthy. Because God wants you to be born again, to be mature, and to be secure, and to see your value in God. You see, Saul had shadows in his personality. Saul had blocks in his early childhood that made him a very insecure person. And that's why as an adult, he was insecure and he didn't always feel lovable. See, when Samuel approached him, Samuel said, oh, I think I've got a job for you. I think God wants to make you the king of Israel. What did Samuel say? Saul said to Samuel? Saul said, I am surprised. In fact, I am so shocked. I'm shell-shocked. He didn't say these things. This is my own version. He says, am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? Hey, look, I'm not worthy to be made this king of Israel. My tribe is only nothing. Small fly. I'm nobody, you know. I'm the least of the least. Why do you say such a thing? And the reason why Saul could say this was because Saul had a block. He felt defective. He felt shameful of his beginnings and he felt shameful of his heritage. And that's why he couldn't take the message of Samuel. Samuel's message was like God sent, but it's too big. Like I'm nothing. I've been trained to think like that. I'm small. I'm despicable. I'm just there, you know, in the low lyings, and leave me there. Don't touch me. I'm just to be boxed up somewhere. And he must have felt alienated. He must have felt socially isolated. Like everybody, whenever they march, you know, whoo, the first tribe, the biggest tribe of Israel, go forward, yay! And then they all charge, you know, champions, wah, go! And then Saul and his Benjamite tribe will be like behind, slowly catching up, slowly, you know. And it's like he's been doing this for years. He knows how it feels not to be a champion. So much so that during the time of appointment, when Samuel came and said, "Look, Israel, I found you a king. You shall have a king. And his name is Saul." And then they couldn't find him. "Hey, where's Saul? Don't know where he went to." Finally, they got to go and consult God because they couldn't find him. He hid himself so well. Yeah, you know, some of our children, grandchildren, they hide themselves so well, don't know where to find them. Hide and seek is over, but they are still hiding. Right, Saul couldn't be found. Couldn't be found. And so finally, they went to God and says, "God, could you find this guy? Because we can't find him. We don't have a king. We have a king, but we don't have a king." And so finally, Saul was found. The Lord said he had hidden himself among the supplies. He hung his head in shame. He was hiding in the supplies because he was fearful. He was afraid of being singled out. That's how insecure Saul was. But if you look at Saul, Saul is actually very handsome. He's a handsome man. The Bible tells us that as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. That means very handsome. You know, so good to have a handsome man around, huh? Yeah, we all are, huh? Handsome and beautiful. And Saul was handsome. And he was a head taller than anyone else. Very tall. Wow. Tall man, huh? Wow. Very, very charming. Huh? And Saul was that. Head taller than anyone else, handsome, appointed as the head of the country, Israel's first king. His profile would make anyone think that he is the most secure person, isn't it? Because he's been given so much. But yet, his natural talent, his natural endowment did not make him feel validated. Saul felt insecure, even though he has got the image of someone who have it all together. And sometimes adults do these things because, you know, as adults, we do what we do and then we become successful. Sometimes we would say, "Oh, this adult really, by what he is doing, is amazing. His natural talent is amazing." But if this person does not feel validated, you know, they can revert back to a lot of very insecure sort of ideas about themselves or insecurities, so that they don't feel like what they are now fits to what they really feel inside. So sad. So sad. That's why I always love to be able to help people uncover that and be able to bridge the two together, so that who they are now is who they really are, so that they don't feel there's a gap and therefore feel like they are impostering or they are pretending or faking when they actually can be healed. Because when we feel insecure, we feel unlovable. Because we think others are able to be there but might abandon me because of my faults. And sometimes this self-blame and this sort of insecurity can deprive us of healthy and secure relationships. You see, in our lives, if we always need people to validate us, if we always need people to tell us how good we are, then sometimes we can go through like an emotional roller coaster, isn't it? We can feel close and safe with people, and then we can sometimes feel angry and sad and clingy at the same time. Very complex, huh? Not secure. Not secure. So therefore, we need the validation from God and His Word. And I think Neil Anderson does it so well. If you have got a chance to go into Neil Anderson's work, he is very good with prayers that can help you stabilize yourself in security. And one of them was this one where he gave scripture verses to help people be secure. He says, "Look, you are secure. And if you think you are not secure, look at the Word of God." The Word of God from Romans 8, 1 to 2 says, "You are free forever from condemnation." He says, you look at Romans 8, 28, he says, "I'm assured that all things work together for good." And Romans 8, 35, "I cannot be separated from the love of God." And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, I have been established, anointed, sealed by God. Philippians 1:6, I'm confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected. Philippians 3:20, I am a citizen of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Hebrews 4:16, I can find grace and mercy in time of need. 1 John 5:18, I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. See, as you begin to be validated by the word of God, then your insecurity, when you bring it up to the word of God, it begins to dissolve when you believe and when you cling on to the Lord for that validation and for that disruption of whatever patterns we have lived by, and begin to feel a new sense of security coming into our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. So be secure. Like who? Saul or Jonathan? Jonathan. Okay, very good. Second point is, if you want to be secure and you want to have secure relationships, you must sow trust. You must sow trust. I like that picture, you know, because for that guy to just jump like that on into that deep sea, you know, he must have trusted his father to just jump in and let his father catch him, isn't it? Huh? So he sowed trust. After David had finished speaking with Saul, the soul of Jonathan and Saul were knitted, as I said, and Jonathan loved him like his own soul. And I'm interested to find out, why is this so? You know, sometimes we got to ask questions. How come certain people can connect with us immediately and certain people really can't as quickly? And I realized that the content of what they talked about created a connection in Jonathan's heart. And that's what made Jonathan pursue the relationship with David. And you know what is the content? I don't know what the content is, what he said and all that, but I know I can summarize the content of the conversation, because sometimes we don't hear what people say, we hear what they express. We hear their body language, we hear their tone. And one of the things which will make a very secure relationship is when there is this five-letter word called trust. Wow, so good. You guys read my notes. It's trust. See, trust is a very big element. Because when you can trust people, you put down your guard. And when you can trust people, you listen to them. David trusted Jonathan with his problem with Jonathan's father. Can you imagine? David shared with Jonathan his problem with Jonathan's father. He trusted him because he knows that Jonathan will not be biased towards him, even though he's speaking about his father, that Jonathan is a fair man. That's how high the trust is. Trust is not to be kept inside, because trust is a social asset. Trust is good to use in public. Trust is good to use with people because it's a social asset. There's some things that are good, like security, that's good for your personal, it's a personal asset, you keep it, and then you have got secure relationship. But trust is a social asset. That means you use it to develop friendships or relationships so that you can flourish your life. I made friends with this city leader in Perth, and when I first met her, it was at a political meeting, because at that time Henry was in politics, and I get to join some of these political meetings. And so I was put on the same table with this city leader. Don't get her name out. Sometimes I didn't ask permission. And so anyway, she sat next to me, and we talked, and it was really good. It was a really good conversation. And then at the end of it, says, "Oh, we must catch up." Always hear this, huh? We must catch up. So sometimes there's a certain sort of a jaded distrust, like, okay, you didn't tell me the time and all that, but sure, we will catch up, right? And you have that sort of a distrust. And so I did with this city leader. But what happens then was, a few days later, she really called. She really called to want to catch up with me. And so finally, these days, we are catching up not just over breakfast. We are also catching up with each other, even over other meals. Yeah. What has happened is that trust was built in me because I realized that she is true to her words. Trust is very important for secure relationships. Trust is the pillar of the relationship house. So if you know John Gottman's work, he believes that trust is one of the very major pillar in a good relationship. Because when you build trust, then people will want to be more committed. So I'm going to bring a marriage situation. So if you know that your spouse have your interest at heart, and your spouse agree with you, you tend to trust more. So if you know that your wife likes a clean table before she does her cooking, and one day you decide to clean the table really nice for her, fragrance, tell you what, your wife will really trust you that day. Because you have her in mind. Am I correct? Some of you looking like, yeah, it's true. Some of the wives say, see, I want that clean table. Yeah, the more you agree with each other, the more you meet each other's needs, the more you will create security and the more you will build that trust. And then trust will just make a secure relationship. If you know that your husband likes you to tell him where you go every time you're out of the door, and you decide to tell him every time you go out, Chai, I'm going now, and I'm going to wherever, I tell you what, you will build that trust in each other more and more, and he will trust me more and more. And that's why now, at my age, I don't have to tell him exactly where I go. I just tell him where I am, and he has my diary, he has my calendar, he has got my everything, he knows where I am, he's secure, and I'm secure. I don't have to rush back, you know what I'm saying? To meet an insecure husband at home, yeah? Okay, so trust is very crucial for secure relationship, and you need to take some time to build trust, because trust can only come in small, positive moments. You need to learn how to create those moments to build those trust. Yesterday, I was at the Rotary Club. It's so fresh, so I need to say it. I was at the Rotary Club event for mothers and fathers to bring their children. It was organized by my daughter. And so she says, Mom, can you come along? I said, why not? And so I went along, and my job was to just, you know, hang around and see what I can do. And so I saw this boy, and I just met him, one small little boy, 8 months old, and he was playing with his parents, and he was playing the squishy balls in the water, and he didn't want to touch the balls because it's squishy and it's watery and all the rest of it. And then, I don't know why I'm like that, you know. Sometimes I overdo things, so just tell me if I do overextend myself, you know. Sometimes I get really excited, like, sometimes I'm surprised at myself. But anyway, he was there, and I said, maybe I should bring the squishy ball to him. He didn't want to touch it. Maybe I'll bring the ball to him. So I take the squishy ball from the tub, and I put it on his hand, and I rubbed it. I don't know why I did that. No. For a few seconds, he was like, whoa. Seconds later, he burst into such a cry, like, And then the mother said something which really taught me about trust. The mother said, he doesn't quite respond well to force. I was playing with him. I was trying to, you know, persuade him, but I didn't know that in my own way, I was forcing him. trust is even important for an 8-month-old baby. And so therefore, we need to go slower in building trust. Go slow in building trust. See, Saul didn't trust the people around him because his position was not respected by everybody. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 10, some people actually say, how can this fella save us? How can Saul save us? They despised him and brought him no gifts. And then the Bible tells us Saul kept silent. This silence of Saul is very troubling because if he's an insecure person and he's bottling everything inside because these people didn't like him and he kept quiet, there must be things that are bottled inside that he's taking things personally. And sometimes we can brew negative things in our heart when we are rejected by other people. We can overthink, we can brood, we can ruminate, usually about negative things. And so we need to be careful because some of these things can affect our level of trust. And it was exactly in the relationship between Saul and David where Saul's insecurities prevented him from forming a healthy relationship with him. He sought to kill him many times. He hated him, even though David was his most competent man and his son's best friend. We can't make somebody's life better if there is no trust. I couldn't make that 8-month-old baby enjoy those squishy balls because he didn't trust me. I haven't earned his respect yet. I could have been better yesterday, but nah, I forgive myself. I'm secure because today I'm preaching a message on security. I shall not feel rejected by an 8-month-old baby who doesn't like my way of making him like squishy balls. When there is no trust, we will tend to avoid. And then when we can't clarify, we engender more distrust. When there is no trust, we tend to sometimes surrender. Like, yeah, it's like that. The whole world, all the people are like that. Don't trust anybody. Never trust any man. Never trust any woman. You know, you get this kind of talk around, yeah? Because you surrender to the belief. And then what happens? You avoid everybody. You can't make good relationships, you can't make secure relationships, you can't make relationships, let alone secure relationships. Or we can tend then to overcompensate. Like, since I can't get this person to like me, I'm going to make friends with everybody and make more and more and more and more so that I can go and find that particular thing that I want. And then we get more hurt and burn out, actually, if we try to do all these things. We pray that as we become born again, we pray that as we begin to mature in the Lord, that we will let the Lord heal our insecurities, disrupt those patterns of distrust, disrupt those patterns of insecurity, and begin to relearn trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord is known to be our solid rock. The Bible tells us that we can be secure in this solid rock in Christ because even though father and mother may leave us, even though father and mother may not make us feel secure, Christ will. And that's found in Psalm 27, verse 10. Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ is the best person to teach us about security, even if we do have an insecure past, or even if we have a half-secure past. God can start it all over again. That's why there is so much hope in Christianity, because we can start from scratch to build our security, build our secure relationships in Christ. I like what Henry tells me about abalone fishing. He comes back, he told those amateur abalone fishermen, because he's been fishing for how long now, Jai? 25 years, is it? At least 20 years, yeah. And he will tell the amateur abalone fishermen. He says, if you want to catch your abalones, 15 at the moment, quota, don't catch more, you must do one thing that is very necessary. if you want to be catching abalone for a long time, you need to be securely fastened. You need to be securely attached to one rock that you can find. So securely put your feet, somehow grab it or something around that rock. And then when the wave will come to and fro, you will still be standing. You will still be able to catch your abalone. So true, isn't it, in life? If you want to be secure, you need to attach yourself securely to the rock of ages, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then begin to let this trust in God spread to the world around us, spread to Perth, spread to the people around us, spread to our family, our community. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the last point is this: when you are able to have trust, then you will be able to have transparency. Transparency is very important, because if you want to make somebody's life better, you need to have transparency. You need to have the ability to share your feelings, not necessarily between man and woman. It's just that this picture is so good, I just decided to take it. Do you find this quite stereotypical? Like women share feelings like 8 bubbles, and then men share feelings 3 bubbles. I just saw it. Never mind. Huh? Women, let's not gripe the fact that our men cannot share feelings as much as us. It's okay, just share all your feelings and let him come back in 3 bubbles. It's right, okay? It's all right. Rejoice, celebrate the small wins. Don't say, why can't you share your feelings, when he has actually shared 3? Because if you do that, then he wouldn't share any. So when there is trust, there is transparency. John 15:15, Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you my friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. I've revealed to you everything that I've learned from him. Jesus trusted us. He's secure with us. And he wants us to be secure with him. And he wants to tell us everything he heard from his Father. He wants to reveal to us everything he learned from the Father. See, secure people will view others as willing and able to care for their hearts. And so therefore, when I know that you care for my heart, I will then share with you my feelings. Because why would I want to share with you my feelings if I don't know if you're going to come back and bite me? Yeah. But if I feel safe with you, I feel secure with you, then I will share my feelings. David and Jonathan shared secrets that are a matter of life and death. It's not just sweet talk. It's really a matter of life and death. David told Jonathan that his father intended to kill him and when. And David needs to be completely trusting in Jonathan to know that he is thinking of his well-being, because Jonathan could actually potentially use the information against him, because he's the father, you know. It's the father. You're sharing about his father. But the sharing also caused a lot of conflict in Jonathan's heart. What do you do? You know, you are put in a very difficult position. It is emotionally loaded. Some of the conversation that we hear are emotionally loaded. Tell yourself it's okay. You are only experimenting with making a secure attachment. So if we have got our kids wanting to come to tell us their feelings, don't talk about your feelings. Don't stop it. Allow it, because it is through feelings that you can actually share a burden. It is through feelings that you can actually go to a deeper level to create another layer in the bonding of that relationship. So they both begin to share their heartaches. They begin to cry together. They begin to share burdens. It's exactly what the New Testament say in Galatians 6:2, that a burden shared is a burden halved. If you want to make somebody's life better, you may want to know how to bear people's burdens a bit better, because you then halve the burden. Not only that, the Bible tells us that you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will fulfill the law of Christ. And to share somebody's burden requires us to listen to their stories. Some stories can make us feel bad, sad, mad, glad. See, grandmother come out already, all the rhyming words. But these emotions need not make us avoid listening. These emotions, when they are shared to us and we have got to listen to them, does not make us lose our identity or make us feel resentful or burnt out. No, we can actually hold the space for one another. We can avail ourselves to listen so that the other person talks through and begin to get their own victories. I want to say this, that it's a very humbling thing to lean in to listen. It's easier to talk if you are a talkative person. It is harder to lean in to listen. But we need to learn from the Lord, who is, we were told in Psalm 116 verse 1, he says, the Lord is our watchman and he inclines his ears to us. That means God is like a watchman at the heart, or at our heart, and every time wanting to listen to us, leaning in and wanting to incline his ear, like, I want to hear what Kara is saying. I love to hear Pastor Stewart talking to me. I love to hear so-and-so talking to me. And you know, God is that watchman. So it's good to create time to lean in and to listen to one another. You want to make somebody's life better? Lean in and listen to one another. I know of at least two couples who would set quarterly dates, besides all the grocery shopping and everything, okay? Quarterly dates, they will meet each other and then they will do a sort of a review time where they will listen in to one another. Yeah, it is good to do that, because when you begin to listen positively to one another, you begin to create a lot of security in the relationship. So some things to avoid when you are listening: no blaming. No matter how emotionally loaded you are hearing from the other person, no blaming. Jonathan did not blame David for being his father's enemy. Jonathan did not blame him for putting him in such a trouble. Jonathan did not blame David for making him take sides against his father. He did not blame him, right? All he did was he simply expressed his need and his emotion. All of us need to do that, to express our needs and our emotions properly in a positive way. Because needs that you can express better will get to be met better. Complaints are not as good, right? Because even though within every complaint there is a longing for something, complaints are not very good, because it takes a lot more skill to find out what that need is. If you complain, 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 that person can't hear, because all they can hear is the tone. So if you can reduce your complaint, but instead express your need better, then the other person will be able to listen a lot better. Because good communication helps build secure relationship. Now, you can listen in, because some things don't need you to take action. Some things need to take action, some things don't. Men, just remember this. I know you're a very natural problem solver, but sometimes when your wife tells you things, she doesn't want you to solve their problems, okay? If your wife come and say, I feel a little bit chubby here, don't say, yala. Always eat and eat. Don't like, cannot say this, all right? Okay, they are not asking you for problem, or go to the gym, you know? They are problem solver. No, your wife just want you to say, she's okay, eat, just eat, you know? My husband tells me this, and that's why I eat and eat, you know? He says, don't worry, we just eat and grow old together. So some things don't need an action, okay? So you can listen in, and sometimes you can ask, do you want me to do something? And if they say no, then no. Just listen, just attend to the person. In this case, of course, in Jonathan's case and David's case, David need Jonathan to do something, because if not, then he can be killed by the father. And so Jonathan had to do something to make David's life better. So listen in, sometimes no need for action. And the last one really is very important. If you want to listen in, and if you want to be secure and be able to make secure relationships, you need to know how to use pro-relationship words to build reassurance. You need to reassure. Just this morning, God always reassure that he will never leave us. So we need to tell each other, reassure one another. So what did Jonathan tell David? He said, whatever you want me to do, Jonathan says, I will do for you. Spouses, this morning, learn this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4. Whatever you want me to do, I will do for you. Well, I tell you, if you get nothing from this sermon, this verse is very good. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4. Speak to one another. Remember, trust is a public asset, so use it. Huh? Use it. Don't waste it. Jonathan reaffirmed his oath out of love for him because he loved him as he loved himself. A lot of reassurance. You want secure relationship? Keep reassuring, reassuring. And then when you reassure, it comes out from a heart of patience, a heart of security. Then you'll be able to create that right climate for you to be able to make somebody's life better in a lifelong way. So I pray that today you will make someone's life much better. Whatever God has put into your hearts to do, you make someone's life better. Do self-check. Be secure in yourself, because a secure person makes secure relationships and brings a lot of comfort and happiness to people. And remember to self-validate with the Word of God. And so trust. Have a good account of trust. Let your trust account be very high. A lot of deposits into your trust account so that you can make a great difference in somebody's life. And last of all, learn to open up. Share your feelings. Feelings are not to trap you. Feelings are there for you to build even more layers into your security and also into the secure relationships God wants to give you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stand before you acknowledging that we are so finite and so fragile, and sometimes so sensitive to so many things around us that we can become insecure. And as long as we exist on this earth, there will be many things that will make us feel that way. But we thank you that, Lord, we are securely attached to you, or you bring us to yourself so that we can draw strength from you, we can draw security from you, so that, Lord, we can say, even though I have got these shadows in my life, I've got these blocks in my life, that, dear Lord, I have found my confidence in you and I've found my security in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to do this great work for us so that we can be secure people. Secure people that are comfortable with closeness, comfortable with people, comfortable with making relationships. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, you want to give us secure relationships to flourish our life, to make our lives so colorful and so enriching. And I just pray that, God, you will bring into our paths, oh God, people that we can make their lives better, or bring people that can make our lives better. And help us, Lord, be able to get along, be able to grow old together, be able to journey with one another so that, Lord, we become that secure person with secure relationships. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We praise you that we have got the secure relationship with you. And we rejoice, oh God. We celebrate that, dear God, you regard us as your child, and that we can be secure in your love and in your presence, that you will never leave us or forsake us, dear Lord. And because of that, we can be that person you called us to be. Father, use us, use every one of us, use the church so that we can make somebody's life better. better, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen.
You are secure, then you are able to live out. And the only way to be secure is to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, the unchangeable one, the solid rock for your life. This week, ask God to help you to make someone's life better. Maybe that someone is just in the same household. Maybe it's in the workplace. Because it's such a great blessing to be able to bless others. Because we're always looking, what can I get? What can I get? But one of the greatest joy is, what can you give? When you make someone's life better, you are in effect making your own life better. Lord, we thank you for your words this morning. May we live in the power of your word, in the power of your spirit. May who you are that is so real in us be revealed so that others may see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your people. Bless them, I pray, and let them live your life powerfully in wherever you have placed them this week. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be in a hurry to go. Stay back and have some fellowship.
You're so good.